absolutely loved it this morning. It's so good to have you guys here. Man, I find it such an honor and a privilege to stand up here and preach God's word, because it really is a privilege to share the gospel with His people. It's an amazing privilege, and I want to honor the leadership and you guys for being our mentors. You know, we're only standing here because of mentorship. Do you know that? I'm not standing here because I'm specifically like the special guy. I had to go through Christ Jesus and be mentored by Craig to stand here. Everything is a bit of a process, eh? It can be a bit tough too, because Craig had to speak some things over me. But I stand there because of great mentorship and the Father Himself. How good is that? This is so good and it's so amazing. But I just want to do a little bit something practical for you this morning. I don't know, please raise your hands if you want to. I'm not forcing you. But how many of you actually believe that I'm being called to preach the gospel this morning? That's amazing. I love that. Now I want to do something even more practical. Now, every one of you, please pick up your hands. Whether you're in that info desk, where you're standing on the camera, if you're sorting out the PDP, VDP, wherever you're standing, Micah, Torin in the corner, you guys that are online, please pick up your hands with me just for a moment. Pick up your hands. Raise them right high. And I just want you to say this with me. I have been called to preach the gospel. Know that and believe that this morning. This is just a platform. We are all preachers of the gospel this morning. We are all carrying the anointing of the Father this morning. At Africa Mhlophe, when he preached, he confirmed, because I didn't want to say this, because now sometimes we don't want to do practical things because it can be a bit uncomfortable. But Africa confirmed it. I even went to Africa, by the way. I said, my man, you confirmed something that I wanted to do in the service. And then when Ryan preached, he confirmed it again the second time. And I love when God starts to honor us when we want to do something. It's always through the Holy Spirit this morning. Leadership without the Holy Spirit is flat. Worship without the Holy Spirit is flat. We got to partner with the Holy Spirit this morning. Are we excited this morning? Man, I love combined meetings, all these smiley faces. I love it. I absolutely love it. So Craig has given me 45 minutes to preach. The service is supposed to finish at 10, but I've got 45 minutes. I'm only kidding. It's been about 29 now, 28. So welcome to Love Has a Name Part 2. Love has a name. Isn't that beautiful? And part 2 is love is more than just a theory. So what am I saying? It's a touch bit of action, isn't it? It definitely is. So as in all in a theory, we always got so many theories on life as human beings. Well, Paul calls us saints, by the way, when we're believers of Jesus Christ. But we've got so many different theories of life, about people, about anything. We carry theories. It's just part of our nature. Like before I owned a home, I had this theory. Oh, wow, I'm going to own a home. I'd love a pool. I'd love this. I'd love that. There's so many pretty things, pretty windows. But actually, what it comes with is bills. It comes with repairs. There's so many different things you got to do. You're like, Lord, I thought it was like this, but the repairs and the upkeep of a home, it just goes on and on. Homeowners, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Before I had children, I said, Lord, I'm going to have lovely children. They're going to be raised up. It's going to be beautiful. You know, just like my mother and father raised us, peanut butter every day. You know, it's going to be amazing, you know. But what did it come with? It came with sleep patterns that are like this. We were sleeping. Some of us can't even sleep because our children are out and we're praying for them. You know, raising them is difficult, you know. Providing for them is difficult. So you see, it comes with a bit of difficulty. Also, before I was a leader in the church, you know, I thought, hey, I'm just going to be a leader, Andy. I'll be there, life group leader. What more is it? Not much. It's a nice title, leader, Grace Life Church. But what does it come with? It comes with responsibility, people. It comes with intentionality. You got to be pressing in. And it's a bit daunting on us, you know. I don't know how you feel, Ryan, but, you know, sometimes, especially this week, I thank God that I'm standing here this week, because I was sick and then my children are at home on holiday. Then I can't really prepare the meeting. And then it just keeps snowballing. There's night shift. And from night shift, I'm going to KZN Equip. I was groggy at KZN Equip. Tell me, I was floating on coffee. I went to Grace Life Corner. I'm like, guys, can you put a bit of extra coffee in there? That's how tired I was. But let me tell you, the enemy will not take the breath out of these lungs that is for Jesus this morning. I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how stressed I am. I don't care what the enemy wants to put in my head to hold me back from the kingdom. I'm going to stand. I'm going to preach. I'm going to come off the night shift tired, shaky, but I'm going to stand in front of the speaker, worship my God this morning. Nothing's going to stop me this morning. No tiredness is going to stop me. And you know, and I can go on and on about the little theories that we make, on and on and on. But theories are great until we have a head-on collision with reality. You can think up a lovely little thing, but when it steps into reality, it becomes something so different. Like loving people. Ooh, loving people. Listen, you're not loving church people. Loving all people. That's what we've been called to do, by the way. Just as Jesus walked, we are called actually to love people. Hey, embrace that. There's so many of you, I'm sure there could be a little bit more amens. A little bit more amens there. It can be quite messy, but thankfully we learned from Jesus that love is so much more than a theory. So today the message is taken from Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And this should be very, very clear to us because we've been going through this in the field season where this guy came to try and trick Jesus. So what he did was, he was the Bible calls him a lawyer, or other Bibles call him, he was a guy of the law. So he was very clued up with the law, Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was very clued up about the law of Moses and how things should operate. And he went to Jesus to try and be a little bit clever, to catch Jesus off guard. Trust me, you can never catch Jesus off guard. You're struggling with something this morning? You think you're the only one? You can never catch Jesus off guard this morning. He is waiting for you just to say, "Here I am." That's all. "Here I am." So he tries to be smart and he asks Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment of them all?" You got to understand one thing. There were 613 commandments. 613 commandments for you to be righteous. 613 to be righteous, bro. Some of us can't even stop at a red robot for 30 seconds to wait for that thing to turn green. We're doing this here with the car. We're doing this. That's how impatient we are. Yeah. I know you're laughing because some of you are like, the first line, the second line, you're doing that. 30 seconds we can't last. 613 commandments to make us righteous, right? And what is Jesus' response? Love the Lord with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your heart. That's all that God requires. And the second one, love your neighbor. 2 out of 613. Lovely, eh? He made it so easy, right? How easy is that to love people? Isn't it? Hey, someone like, not sure. I'm not sure. I can see it in your face expression like, it's hard to even love this one next to me. Oh, but in reality, you know, love is messy. Love is absolutely messy. When I married my wife, there were things that we had to go through. Hey, you do this. Hey, what you doing? My mother doesn't do that. How come you're doing this? You know, there were challenges as a husband and a wife that we have to go through. Love is messy. But there's a beautiful thing that happens during marriage in the messiness. And I love the Proverbs 14, verse 4. It says, hey, Jess, don't smile at me. So 14 verse 4, it says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest." If you want a clean home, don't have children. Hey, come on. You want a clean home, don't have children, trust me. But if you want children, you're going to have a dirty home. But what comes out of that, those children? You want a problem-free life? You interact with no one. No interaction with people. You'll have a problem-free life. But if you want an abundant harvest, an abundant harvest, we got to love people. And we got to get messy. Because the more we love, guess what happens, William? The kingdom grows, bro. The kingdom grows with love, not yourself. The kingdom grows. Your generation, your family, they grow. go. They keep going because of this decision and the love of Jesus. And yes, I know what you're thinking about loving a neighbor. I know. The dogs don't stop barking. They got a different, they maybe are from a different religion, maybe a different race, you know, because it's hard to relate. Or the leaves are falling into your pool and they're not even your tree, but you every day, you're just taking leaves and you're looking at this neighbor and saying, when is he going to cut this blessed tree down? You know, we can get, and I'm supposed to love that neighbor? The answer is yes. In the messiness, Gary, we got to love them. No matter what, my man. Don't put the leaves next door. Don't you dare put the leaves next door. Because when we have a one-on-one with Craig and he walks past the pool, he always says, hey, you know, look at this pool, man. Look how many leaves are in the pool. But I'm looking up at the trees. I'm like, oh, your neighbor's trees there. Okay. Yes, man. And the answer is yes. You know, we just got to keep loving through it all. And I got a few things that I thought of, and I said, how do we love as believers? How do we love? And I'm going to be honest, this was a bit of me. A bit of me when I started writing these things down, I was like, wow, I was so much like that. Because how we love is, we can sometimes be very inward focused, right? That's one. The other one is my reading, my daily time, my calling, my tithe, you know? Me, I'm coming to church every day to the meetings. Oh, yes, that's lovely. And no, guys, these are lovely things. It's good. They're not bad things at all. It's got nothing to do with being bad. But listen to this. These things are not bad things, but sometimes these very things can keep us from interaction and experiences with others who need to hear the gospel this morning. You see, it's good to have quiet time. It's good to focus on your calling a bit, but there needs to be interaction to get the gospel out. We can't keep the gospel to ourselves this morning. As you can see, our motto's changed just a little bit, but it's encounter God and make disciples. How we make disciples is interaction with people. I got to meet someone at KZN Equip. You see, KZN Equip, people, it's not just about learning about leadership and this and that and lovely things about Christ and worshiping. You know what it's about? It's about that two-hour break in the middle that you are free and you find yourself talking to somebody else and learning their name, as Dawn spoke about last week. And I got to learn someone's name. Guess what? From this church that I've never really had a conversation with. And I was amazed by that. And another old lady came on the side of me named Penny, and we started speaking to each other's lives. And I got to meet this lovely lady from Grace Life. And she came up with one thing. She says, hey, Grant, how do I know that I should pray for someone and it will work and they're very sick, possibly terminal? I said, sometimes I feel that I shouldn't pray because I'm not sure the outcome. And I said what Brad Lane said up here. He says, pull the trigger. He says, when you feel like that, the enemy doesn't want you to pray for that person. Pull the trigger and pray for that person. Believe in it. Let me tell you something. The enemy is here to rob and steal this morning. The enemy wants to take our lives this morning. And yes, when we pray, that person might pass on. But guess what? You just might have changed their destination. You just might have changed the generation of that family. Because you pulled the trigger in praying for that one person. You changed a generation with one prayer. Don't allow the enemy to take away your prayer. God's word says that we change the world with our words through the gospel. Pray for that person. You will change an entire generation because of God's name. And his name is Jesus this morning. How did Jesus love? Hey, Jesus. Oh, Jesus was a man. He would do things even I wouldn't do. It's tough for me to do. But he loved people like Zacchaeus, as we heard last week. Zacchaeus, who was despised by his community. Do you understand being despised by your community? Eh? They hated him, I think. He hung around people that were not like him. Not like him. He wasn't not comfortable people. I know Tyron so well. I connect with him a bit. Hey, I'm comfortable around Tyron. Hey, let's meet Tyron every week. No.
God wants us to meet people that are uncomfortable, that it becomes uneasy. That's what he wants. He wants us to love so much. Even though it's messy, he wants you to do that. He learned their names. Jesus always called them by their name. He said, Zacchaeus. You know, he called him by name. He said, hey, no. That Zacchaeus was a personal thing. There was relationship. It's Dirk. So I'm calling you. I'm relating. Don't sink in your seat when I call your name, my man. Don't sink in your seat. He listened to their stories. Trust me, we all got a story. We all going through something. People are going through even more than you that are not found in the kingdom this morning. We still have the advantage of going to a brother, going to a mentor. Those people around that are out of here, they've got no one to go to. They just want an ear. Jesus gave them an ear. Not your money, not your time, an ear. Now I will pray for you. Would you mind if I prayed for you? Do you know what that does to a person? You see, it wasn't just a theory for Jesus. It was his reason for being and living and moving in and through the lives of others. That's what Jesus does. That's what you and I, that's the mandate we carry this morning. We got to move in and through other people's lives. Don't get too personal, please. Don't get too much in their lives now. There's a time and for everything, okay? Don't get too deep into people. Some people get a bit uncomfortable the way we approach them. So we've got to ask God for his divine love and teach us how to approach people. Because some of us can be a bit nasty in our approach. You know, when I met Ryan, like when he gave an instruction, it was like, yo, bruh, am I in church? This, oh, can you just show me, hey, you know what, Grant, I'm like, yeah, my man, what is wrong with this guy? Meanwhile, he's speaking the truth. It's just who Ryan is. Every one of us carries something different. It's the way we communicate. But let me tell you, Ryan has completely changed, by the way. Ryan has completely changed. Ryan is amazing. Him and I are so different. Eh? We are so different. He supports United. I support Liverpool. You know? He wears Adidas. I wear Nike. We're just so different in our personalities. Ryan, we carry a little bit of different things. Even the way we explain things, we're so different. But guess what? Because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, that Jesus gave to us when he died on the cross, we connect because of the Father. That's what makes us grow. A partnership makes us grow. In the book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis says, there is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Not even an animal. Hey, I don't want to bring up animals in the bluff. Hey, I tell you, there's this one thing called hurtful on bluff. Yo, if you talk about a monkey, let me tell you, you don't ever say anything about a monkey on hurtful. They will finish you, my man. The monkeys were here first. Did you not know that? I'm like, jeez, these monkeys, man. But the men and women are walking past our homes in poverty, looking for food. And we can't give them a loaf of bread. And we want to favor an animal more than a brother. Listen, please, I hope Hartford doesn't come at me. I'm taking a big risk here. But yes, animals are important, okay? They are important, okay? So rapidly, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully, your heart. Wrap your heart carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. Gosh, that's harsh. That is harsh. Let me tell you something. When you start to give your life to the kingdom, there's a lot of outworking we've got to do from inside. I mean, I sit with a lovely mentor, and he outworks everything that I'm going through because I'm carrying baggage that I have from so many years ago about how I've been raised, about how I've done church. There's so many different things that my mentor instills inside of me that I can stand there so boldly, hold this mic, and preach the gospel because we got to outwork our lives no matter what. We've got to do it. You can't do this life on your own. We can't come here, one chair, one goal, out the gate, off you go. There's no growth. There's no relationship. There's no experiences. This is what we're about. We're experiencing each other as we grow with each other, as my leaders here in front. I can talk to anyone about anything I'm going through here. And they just respond with, I love you, and stop doing that or else. So they come with a lot of stuff. But you know, I was trying to figure out, how do I get one thing through to you that love is messy? How can I demonstrate how messy this love is? I thought of only one way. Come here. Love is like, you can come on top, Baba. Love is like a juicy, juicy, dripping burger. No, face it to them, face it to them, face it to them. This was made by my wife this morning, by the way. If you look at that as love, there's no way I can eat this burger without making a mess. There is no way I can put a napkin. I love a napkin. I can put a napkin. I can have serviettes piled up. I can do a whole lot of stuff. But in order to get through that burger, I'm going to have to be very, very, very messy. And love is just like that this morning. And what has going to happen, you're going to hold this thing with two hands, okay? You just hold this thing, right? And you're going to want to bite it. You're going to have to. It's going to be messy. This is your neighbor. You know, this is what you're going through. This is you trying to get over some stuff. But Lord, you're saying it's so messy. I don't want to get my heart involved. I don't want my heart to be broken, Lord. I don't want to go through stuff with this person, Lord. This person is so irritating, Lord. I don't know what to do, Lord. But the Lord just says, take a bite. Yeah, give me a second there. Oh, hey, she put a lot of hot sauce on there, bro. That's definitely the habanero she put there, man. Gosh. She set me up, this woman, man. Gosh. Hey, like how I set you up for lunch there with the curry there, Craig. But that is what love is. It's going to be messy, but I've got some good news for you. Just hang on right there. Love stops being a nice theory when we start to love the ones around us. Hey, if Jesus could leave his humble heavenly throne, he left his humble heavenly throne. Take on the humble nature of a servant and live and die for all of us. Then I think that you and I can get a bit messy. I think that you and I can love a little bit harder. And as I'm coming to land now, I'll call you to stand in a few. Do you remember all those theories I brought up in the beginning of my preach? The little theories that I had? There was only one difference with going through those theories. The difficult things that tend to be a little bit of an obstacle, the repairs to the house, raising the children, very difficult stuff. Being a leader, we've got to be more responsible. We've got to more, right? We've got to be more and more, okay? But what the lovely thing about those theories is that it's fulfilling and it's satisfying. So when I own a home now, although it's messy, although it's dirty, it is fulfilling. It's a roof over my head. It's my home. I can invite people to my home. You see the rewards of that. There's so many rewards in that. In every case, it was much more difficult than I could have imagined. But on the flip side of it, it's more and more satisfying and fulfilling. Stop theorizing about loving others. We're overthinking about loving people. All we got to do is one step at a time. Let's keep practicing. Craig got 16 years. Craig and Dawn, 16 years in this business of loving people and grace life. But it started, yeah. And it got to grow. And it got to grow into you beautiful people sitting here, all of us together, enjoying each other and smiling at each other, drinking beautiful coffee. All of that was worth it. It was fulfilling to them. They were satisfied. It's going to take a bit of work, but do it one day at a time, one step at a time. Don't hesitate today on loving someone. It just takes a little moment. And last week, we were challenged to learn someone's name. I love that I did that at KZN Equip there, honey. I see your head there. I love that we did that at KZN Equip, that we can, that I got to learn someone's name, I got to know what they're going through, and I got to learn a little bit of their life and speak into them and they into me. That's what it's about. Learning a name is so much more than you think. This week, I want to challenge you to take the next step. Love someone near to you like you would love yourself this morning. I urge you this morning, you look at yourself in the mirror and say, you are lovely. Even if your head is bald, you are lovely, boy. Ooh, that gray in your beard, son, you are beautiful. You got to love yourself this morning. And just like that, when you see a neighbor, when you see a friend, when you see someone you haven't spoken to, love on them just like you would love yourself this morning. Buy a random person a cup of coffee when you're getting yourself one. You know that? You go into the coffee shop, hey, would you like a coffee? Simple, a simple gesture. It's amazing what that does. Pay for someone's groceries. Ooh, that's a privilege. I've done that a few times. It's an amazing, amazing gift to have that. And God speaks to you to do something like that. Reach out to someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time. You know that family member? I want to urge you guys, if you have ever written someone off on your WhatsApp or block someone and they're your family member or there's something that you can't get over, I urge you this morning, there's a miracle, there's a blessing in getting over that and going back and say, hey, I love you, I'm sorry. Sometimes we can be so distant from our family members because of a small issue. But trust me, when you just go back and say, hey, how are you doing? I just want to say that I love you. I don't have much to say, but I just want to say that I'm thinking about you and I just love you so much. It's amazing what that does to someone. Become a mentor or a mentee. I only stand here because of a mentor and a father. That's why I stand here. It's not by luck or by chance that I stand in this pulpit and preach the gospel of God. It's because I've had a mentor to take me through stuff. Partnering with my father first. Lord, help me. And be a mentee too. Be a mentee as well. Those of you who don't have a mentor, go to someone. Look for someone. Have some coffee. Come on, we want to build disciples. You know what Grant Crawford said in KZN Equip? He says, this is a community. Grant Crawford, like my namesake, he's also bald and he got a bit of a beard. And he's loud like me. He's super loud. He got a nice voice, like a Braveheart voice. I want to preach in the name of Jesus this morning. He's got such a lovely voice. I love listening to him. And he says, this is a community. And it's important to God. It's very important, this community. But what's even more important is communities in a community. Our life groups, our getting together, our partnering with each other. That's what grows the kingdom. We can't just only speak as kingdom people about a Sunday. Everything that comes out of your mouth, Sunday was lovely. Everything, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. We are Sunday churchgoers, but we're not partnering during the week. We're not finding someone to talk to. We're not being mentored. We're not a mentee. We need to get together. We need to make small communities so that we can grow the big community. And through small communities, I guarantee you, they will tell their friends about you. Their friends will come to your small community. That small community, they'll end up coming to this community, and they make Grace Life their home. And it's not about that. We don't want to just, oh, we're making more people. No, we're making more disciples. We want to grow the kingdom, not the church. Sometimes we want to grow the church, but we don't want to grow the kingdom of God because we want to be comfortable. It's lovely to sit on the seat and just go, yes, Lord, amen. Lovely, but growing it takes time. It's hard work. It takes a lot of love, a lot of love. So if you don't mind, would you mind standing with me this morning? Craig, would you like to... Oh, lovely, lovely. Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Would you mind if we get the band up? Eh? Can we get the band up, please, just for a moment? But I want to urge every single one of you this morning. You may feel a bit uncomfortable here today, and I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you're going through. But the only way that we love people is if we go to the first love, who is love. I don't know which situation you're in now. I don't know who brought you to church this morning. I don't even know why you're here. But God knows why you're here this morning. And if you've never...